Turn to Romans. Okay, I've been studying Romans, and as I study Romans, I come across things that I really want to teach, which you probably haven't realized, but it's affected every teaching we've done or everything we've looked at for the last couple of months. And so in chapter 4, we're going to go to. A great man once said, the truth is always simple, and error is always complicated. And that's really true. You know, sometimes the greatest solutions to mankind's difficulties are the simplest that could possibly be. And when man tries to figure it out and explain it, he usually makes it complicated because there's usually error in it because God's not in it. And you know, really the solution to life is to believe God. You know, when you really study the Bible and look at it and read it and get it into your brain, it's really all about believing God. That's from beginning to end, that's really what it's about. You know, obviously it's about Jesus Christ and He saved us. But it all has to do with believing all that, right? And every person that's mentioned in the Bible, it either mentions them in light of they believed God and obeyed God, or they did not. So we're going to look at Abraham. And Abraham was such an incredible guy that he deserves a little bit of our attention because he was amazing. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 4. And you ever think about this? Now, the Bible covers about, 4,000 years worth of history. So it covers the period of Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, Cleopatra, Augustus Caesar, Julius Caesar, all these different guys. It never mentions their believing. You know why? Because it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. They didn't believe God. They may have had great commitment to what they were doing. They may have had great determination. They may have believed in what they were doing, but they didn't believe God. And that's what's really important. It's not just believing. It's believing God is what counts. So, Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for what saith the Scripture? What says the Scripture? Did you notice today in the manifestations that the Word of God was mentioned in each one? God emphasized it in each one, talked about its reliability, how He backs it up, that if we believe it, He'll bring it to pass, and you know, a bunch of things. But you know, He mentioned His Word in each and every one. And because God is His Word. You know, we have a saying in the world, a man is only as good as his word. And, you know, that's really a true thing. And because God is as good as his word, or his word is as good as he is. And he's really good. He's perfect. So, for what saith the Scripture? The Scripture is God's word that is written down. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, the word counted is the word in Greek, which means accounted or credited or imputed. Because Abraham lived before Jesus Christ came and paid the price, and really man could not become righteous except in that he obeyed God. And to the extent that he obeyed God, he was righteous or upright. Not in the same sense that we are righteous today. But it was credited to Abraham because he believed God concerning everything God said, including the coming Messiah. So, you know, it was kind of like in the future. He's credited with it. Okay? So, then we go to verse 19, and it says, and being not weak in believing, he considered his own body now dead, speaking about Abraham again. This is all about Abraham. When he was about 100 years old, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay. Let's start in verse 17. That's better. As it is written. Okay? In verse 3 it says, what saith the scripture? Well, here it says, as it is written. It's referring to the written word of God, the prophecies. I made thee a father of many nations. Now, he said this to Abraham in Genesis 17 before Abraham had any children whatsoever. And a nation meant large families, clans, tribes, groups of people that would come forth. So, you know, if he were to have, you have sons and then they have sons and they all have great families and they would become nations. Okay? So it says here that God said he would be a father of many nations. And yet, when he said this, he didn't have any children and he was already very old. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And that's something that you see continually in the Word. God will say things about the future, but he says them in the past tense. Meaning, as far as God's concerned, it's already done. It's already completed. It is accomplished. You know, it's as good as gold. Once God says it, it's good. It's going to be. And so he says it in the past tense, even though it's still future. And he says stuff about us that's in the future, but he says it in the past tense. Then it says, who, this is talking about Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. He believed in hope. He was expecting in the future against hope. In other words, he believed where it was impossible to believe. It was an impossibility, what God told him. He was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90, and he said, you're going to have a son. That's impossible. So he believed, he hoped against hope. Okay, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And who spoke that to him?
God.
So shall thy seed be. Pretty great. And of course he had, you know, a promise, but the promise included things, and he understood this. As far as we know, God told him he would have a son, Isaac, but it also that from his bloodline would come the Messiah, the promised seed. And I don't think Abraham knew which son that would be or when it would happen. He just believed it. And being not weak in believing, the word faith is believing, and not being weak in believing, and that is a figure of speech, meaning just the opposite. Because we're going to read on in the context, it's going to tell us that. But it's saying it in the opposite to emphasize he was not weak in believing. He considered his own body. The word not is not in the Greek text. He considered his own body. He had to consider his own body because he lived with his own body. Did you ever consider your body? You know, I remember when I was 21, 22 years old and I played sports. And when I was in college especially, I was with these guys and we worked out every day. Every day. We lifted weights, we ran, we swam. Every day. And I was in pretty good shape. I'm not bragging, but I was chiseled, so to speak. And I didn't lift a lot of weights. I mean, I wasn't a weightlifter type. I was lean. So anyway, now I look at my body and I go, oh my gosh. You know, I can't ignore it, can I? You can't ignore your own body. If something's bothering you, you can't ignore it. I go up the stairs and my left knee kills me and I go up the stairs and, you know, it hurts when I go upstairs. Abraham considered his own body, which he was 99 years old. Now dead. What does that mean? He was dead. He wasn't producing seed any longer. He didn't work so well. They didn't have Viagra in those days. He was out of luck. Okay? He considered his own body now dead. Now 13, I always wondered about this because he had a son from another woman other than Sarah. But if you go back and read it, it was 13 years prior to what it's talking about here. And so he had that son by Hagar, right? Ishmael. But then when he was 99, he was now dead, could no longer perform. So he considered it. He had this promise from God. God said, Ishmael's not the guy. He's not the seed. It's going to be by Sarah. And he goes, huh? And he thought about his own body. He considered it. He considered it. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, God's going to do a miracle. He can say, he says, well, okay, this is an impossibility, but God said it. Now dead. He considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. You know anybody 100 years old that's produced this child? I haven't. My dad was 50 when I was born and 56 when my brother was born, and I thought he was doing pretty good. But you know, most people don't have kids when they get in their 50s, do they? He was 100. Neither yet, and that neither yet is not there either, it should be, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was way beyond having a child. She was beyond menopause. She was, her womb was dead. You know, and one of the things it emphasizes is man is dead without God and his son, Jesus Christ. Think about it. Because this is in Romans, and this is all about what God's talking about. Man is dead without God and without you. You may walk around, you may breathe, you may suck in and waste oxygen. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you're not born again, you're dead. You're dead. And you're condemned to everlasting death. I remember one time somebody asked me to explain or you know, what was hell, you know, if you go to hell. I said, well, the opposite of eternal life is what?
Eternal death.
Eternal death. You know, and that's the way it is. Talks about the second death in Revelation. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he considered yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. He didn't doubt the promise of God through unbelief. Again, reiterating, he wasn't weak in faith. He wasn't weak in believing. He didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, in faith, giving glory to God. Now, you see here, the word faith is used and the word unbelief, because it's all referring to what? The same thing, right? In verse 3, it said, Abraham believed God. So, you know, when somebody gives you an argument about the word faith, faith and believing are the same thing. Man confuses it. It's real simple. You believe. You know, if you don't believe, you can't keep the faith if you don't believe, because it just means to believe. You believe. You believe God. So, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, strong. He was, it's the Greek word, endunamu. He endured in believing. He endured in believing. Giving glory to God. He just glorified God. He just believed God and he glorified it. And this went on for a long period of time, which we're going to look at a little bit. So, you know, why does God write all this stuff about Abraham, about his believing? Because he was incredible. He was amazing in his believing. He was steadfast. He was faithful. He never quit. And when you think about it, he waited a long time for the promise of God, and he didn't quit on him. You know, sometimes we pray for something, and if it doesn't happen the next day, we're going, oh, well, I have to use plan B. I have to figure it out on my own. You know, we just quit on him. Abraham hung in there for years and years and years and years. And as he went along, God encouraged him and God blessed him. And God always did that. I started working in the Old Testament. I went all the way back to Adam to look at stuff, all the way through Genesis so far I got, how God encourages and blesses people and helps them along the way. And he always does. He always gives assurance. He always encourages. He always helps. And much of it is by issuing his word. You know, every time we hear manifestations, it's for what? It's for comfort, building up, and encouragement. Amazing. So, where were we? Here we go. Being fully persuaded. So, giving glory to God. He's strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, God's able to perform. If God says it, he's able to do it, right? So when he says he'll take care of us, is he going to take care of us? Yeah, well, you may not get a Rolls Royce. But will he take care of you? Yeah. We have food. Yeah. We have clothing. Yeah. We have shelter. Yeah. Will you have what you need? Yeah. He doesn't say he's going to give you the world, but he said he'll take care of you and he'll give you what you need when you need it. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him. It was credited to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, the righteousness, but for us also. Who's this written for?
Us
also, to encourage us to do what?
Believe.
Believe. Believe what?
His word.
His word. What he says and what he has written down. So when we hear manifestations, we're to do what?
Believe.
Listen and believe. When we read the word, we're to believe it. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Is that it? Or 21:22. 22:21, I think. Okay. So, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's go back to verse 11. Okay, let's see. Verse 8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. And that's a quote from Psalms. David wrote it down. Blessed is the man unto the Lord who the Lord doesn't impute sin. You know, he doesn't credit the sin to your account. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, remember, well, some of you remember, there's the verse in Colossians where it talks about our sin being doubled or folded over, covered. You know, in the Old Testament, when they atoned for sin, it got covered up, right? It got put away like it didn't exist. But for us, it says that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It means that our sins are totally washed away, totally expunged, erased, never existed. It's pretty cool, don't you think? It's like they never existed. You know, I remember my kids writing on the wall with crayons and I'd have to paint. So you have to get something special to cover up the stain so it doesn't bleed through. Right, Tim? Kills, or there's a couple of different things, you know. And that stuff smells terrible usually. And you put it on there and you let it dry and you do it once or twice and then you paint over it and it's like it was never there. It's gone. Well, God is better than that. He doesn't just cover it over. He gets rid of it totally. It's gone forever. Expunged, cleansed. Okay? So, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, which means Israel, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, this all happened with Abraham long before the law, and even before circumcision, he believed, and then God gave him circumcision as a sign that, you know, they had made a covenant and God was with them and God would bring about what he promised. That was what circumcision was for. Okay. And it wasn't by accident that it was circumcision. Because every time Abraham had to go to the bathroom, what did he have to look at? And so what did that remind him of? God's promise. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But that's what he did. It's pretty cool. And it wasn't written for him only, it's written for us. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them, unto them also. See, he's the father of all them that believe. So if you believe, he's your father in believing. The word father is used in the Bible many times. It's for the person that originated something or was a leader or something or, you know, was the first one to do it and other people followed. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, am I not your father in the word? Because he taught them about Christ. So he was their father. Abraham is our father in believing because he's the first one that really distinguished himself in believing. And he's the father of believing for everyone, not just to the Israel or the circumcision, but to everyone that believes. And he is our example, our great example of believing. What a great guy. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And you know, Abraham didn't just believe one time. He continued to believe numerous times. And we're going to look at a few things real quick. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Haran is up around in Iraq today. And so God called him out, and how old was he when he left? 75. How old was he when he had his first son? 83. And then how old was he when he had the second one? 99. So how long did he wait for that promised seed? 24 years, 25 years, right? That's a long time to keep believing and wait, isn't it? Amazing. What a great guy. And it says he God told him that, and he departed. He did what God told him to do. He just picked up and left. He just moved. Pretty cool. Let's go to chapter 13. Verse 14. What a great guy. What a great guy to read about. I mean, he's the first guy that really distinguishes himself as believing. He's the first guy who God tells to pray for somebody else who gets healed. Abimelech. He sends him into Egypt and God protects him and enriches him beyond all imagination. He just continues to protect him and do things for him. He gets to the place where he has 300 and whatever it was, 50 guys, servants, working for him, serving him. 350? He had his own little army. And that's not his children. Those are people that were his servants. Amazing. chapter, what did I say? 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So what does he do? He goes and he receives this promise, and he gives thanks to God. He builds an altar to make a sacrifice and to bless God and to worship God. You know, because he knows where all that he has is coming from. He knows what his source of life and breath and wealth and everything else is. It's God. He knows that. See, sometimes we get a little high on our horse and we think, look at all I've done and accomplished in life. But it really all comes from God. It all comes from God. Okay, let's go to 15. This is just a quick trip through Abraham's life. After these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a great promise. Isn't that great? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now, he's been out there a few years, and he goes, hey, God, remember you sent me out, and you said I'd be the father of a great nation? But I don't have any seed. All I have is this guy Eleazar. He's my steward. So, he asks God. He doesn't complain. He just lays out the facts. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So before it was as the dust of the ground, and now it's as the stars in the sky. And if you go somewhere where there's not a lot of artificial light, there's so many stars you can hardly see the sky sometimes. It's so thick. It's amazing. And he says, so shall thy seed be. Now, you know what? Here he says, out of thine own bowels. He doesn't say anything about Sarah, so you can understand how Abram got a little confused later on. So then God had to clarify it for him. And he believed the Lord, and it counted unto him for righteousness. And he said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So he gave it to him. And how long did it take before they actually moved in? 400 and something years, 500 years. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 1. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, and may be thy obtained children by her. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to husband Abraham to be his wife. And Hagar conceived. So there you have this whole thing with Hagar. They go down to verse 16. And it says, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. So he's 86. So it's 11 years after he leaves Haran, when God first tells him to go out and tells him he'll be the father of a great nation and all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of him. And then it's 11 years he has Ishmael, and it's another 13 years before Sarah gets pregnant with Isaac, and then another 9 months till, and he's 100 years old by then, and has him. Okay? Let's go to 17 real quick. And verse 1 it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so it jumps ahead 13 years, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. The word perfect means upright. Doesn't mean perfect, perfect, but do the best you can. And then go to verse 15. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, which means princess. It's where you get Jewish American prince. No, that's not it. But it means princess. You know, it was a title of distinction or a name of distinction and honor. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 old bear? And he's laughing for joy here. He's not thinking it's silly. He's just overwhelmed with joy. What a great guy. And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And the word Isaac means laughter. And Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And so on and so forth. So 99 years old, 13 years he waited. That's why he said he considered his own body yet dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And God's just letting people know, and it's written for us too. We need God. We need his son, Jesus Christ. And without him, we got nothing. We have nothing without God and without Jesus Christ. And it's his word is there so we can believe it. He gives us something to hold on to. He gives us something to believe. He gives us something that we can put into our lives. It says in Romans 1:17, you know, the word of God believed is the power of God, right? The word of God believed is the power of God. Everything that ever happened in the Bible, God issues his word and somebody believes it. That's the formula. God says it, you believe it. The power of God is brought forth, manifested, exhibited, done. If he doesn't give you his word, nothing's going to happen. We have his written word. When we believe his written word, what happens? Power of God. Let's go back to Romans again. Romans 4. So when you really pay attention to Abraham and you read all the different things that happened with him, he was just an incredible guy that just believed God. He just didn't allow the doubt to creep in. He just steeled his mind on the promises of God. And he went to God, and if he had a problem or a question, he asked God. He talked to him. He prayed to him. He put God first. It's incredible how much he put God first. And for years and years and years. And we so much underestimate faithfulness. You know, faithfulness simply means steadfast in believing. And when we're faithful in our believing, when we're steadfast and methodical and systematic in doing, you know, putting God first and praying and studying his word and giving and fellowshipping and speaking the word, God blesses it. He blesses it. He can't do anything but bless it because he's promised us that as we do those things, as we're faithful, he'll bless us. Chapter 4, again, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining the flesh, hath found? If Abraham was justified by works, where hath he whereof to glory, but not before God? It wasn't of the flesh. Why wasn't it of the flesh? Well, because his flesh was dead. Get it? Ishmael was of works. Ishmael was of works. He tried to do it, or Sarah said, here, do it here. And then God clarified it for him. He says, no, you just believe. And 13 years later, when he was totally dead in the flesh, when Sarah's womb was totally dead in the flesh, when he had no other way to go, it had to be God. Which emphasized, you know, the importance of the coming Messiah. Because we're dead in the flesh. We're just dead in the flesh. Kind of crazy. Let's go to Galatians chapter. Well, and for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed. Okay, Galatians 3. Almost done. Maybe. We could do this for about 4 hours with Abraham. Chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith or believing the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, and that's why it's so important to rightly divide the word. It's so important to know exactly what the word of God says accurately. Because if you don't know what it says accurately, you can't believe accurately. You can't believe rightly. You know, if you wrongly divide the word, you're going to wrongly believe. You know, to the extent and to the ability and to the degree that we rightly divide the word, we have the word of God and we can rightly believe the word of God. To the degree that we wrongly divide it, we wrongly believe. It's simple, huh? Sometimes people believe the word and they don't even know it, you know, because it lines up with the word. And then other times they look real religious and real perfect, but they wrongly divide it and nothing happens. That's religion. Looks good, but it's powerless. Okay, we've all been there. So then they which are of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. How much was Abraham blessed? Lots. Right? Lots. Well, how much are we blessed? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. That's how much we're blessed. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says in verse 8, by faith or believing, when Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Obeyed. You can't believe if you don't obey. And what did he obey? Well, we read in chapter 12, God said, pack up, leave. God gave him his word, and he did what? He obeyed his word. He acted on it. He believed. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And, you know, as Isaac grew old, God gave him the promise, and then he gave Jacob the same promise, you know, that that seed would come from him and that the nations of the earth would be blessed. And, you know, they were the bloodline of the coming Messiah. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, he looked to the future. God showed him the future of the new heaven and the new earth. Through believing also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And you know what? She had to believe.
She did.
She had to believe. Pretty cool, because she was dead too. She was dead in her womb. It didn't produce anymore. She had to believe the promise of God, and she judged God faithful. Let's go to James chapter 2. Hebrews 11, 12, 13, James. Chapter 2, verse 23, we're going to just read. And the scripture was filled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Isn't that great? He was called the friend of God. Pretty amazing. And back to Romans. So, Romans chapter 1. So, Abraham is the father of believing. He is put here. God wrote it down for us as an example. He wrote it for us too. He put all that down for Abraham because he wanted us to see. He wanted us to know. He wanted us to understand. You know, when he circumcised, what did they do? They cut off dead skin. You know, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Israel took the sign of circumcision to mean, oh, wow, aren't we righteous? When reality was that God gave it to them for a sign of the covenant. God gave them the sign of circumcision to say, well, you're really not righteous, but you need to believe me and believe concerning the coming Messiah. That's really what's going to make you righteous, not the sign of circumcision. This is just to let you know that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, and you keep looking to me. And instead, they took it as, well, we're special. We're better than everybody else. And then it got wacky. See? They were dead in their flesh. They had nothing to believe but God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's Paul writing. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is really the gospel of God concerning his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which it says in chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. That's what it's referring to. For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto wholeness to everyone that believeth. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from believing unto believing. As it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by believing. That's what he wants us to do. That's the example of Abraham. He lived by believing and he was considered righteous by God. Well, we're made righteous, but the exhortation, the encouragement of God is to live by believing, to believe me, to believe my word. Pay attention when you hear the manifestations and just remember how much God talks about his word and listening to his word and how much he backs it up and how much he wants us to believe it. Because he is a God that wants to bless us. He wanted to bless Abraham, didn't he? And we're Abraham's seed and he wants to bless us just as much. He wants to take care of us. He wants to show us his power. He wants to bring about his word in our lives. And his exhortation is, believe my word. So, amen. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and taking care of us, for giving us such a great word and giving us such great examples in your word, and especially of Abraham and Sarah, how they were dead in their flesh and they couldn't get around it any other way but to believe you. And God, we just thank you so much for that example. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and how he came. And he came as a result of Abraham's believing. Or, you know, Abraham believed your word, and as a result, he came and was able to pay the price for us so that we too could believe and be your sons and daughters. We thank you for this day, for a great day ahead and a great week. We thank you for blessing us and that we can keep in the forefront of our minds that we are to believe. Believe you and believe you only. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.